I'd like now to welcome to the program Ken Knight. He is the director of the Santa Fe Men's Camerata, which is doing a performance this Saturday and Sunday at Temple Beth Shalom. It's a tribute to four centuries of Jewish composers. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to see you and chat with you.
Now, four centuries of Jewish composers. Are we talking about music that is religious music in some way, or just that the composers themselves are Jewish, some of both?
Both. The pieces on the first half of the program are mostly liturgical pieces, beginning with a wonderful piece by 16th century composer Salomone Rossi, who was inspired by Palestrina and Victoria and wrote very much in their style. And then there's some other liturgical pieces by contemporary composers. There's a Ladino folk song. There is a medley from Fiddler on the Roof. And then there's the second half of the concert is almost entirely music by popular composers, Irving Berlin, Jerome Kern, Richard Rodgers, Fritz Lowe, Stephen Sondheim, the whole panoply of great American songwriters, most of whom were Jewish.
Let's go back to the 16th century, for example, 16th, 17th century. Was there musical cross-pollination between Jewish and Christian music?
Very much so, yeah, exactly. The piece we're doing by Mr. Rossi was inspired by the prevailing style of cathedral music in Italy. He was trained in Italy.
And so these are choral pieces that if you didn't know what they were saying, you might think that they were Christian music?
Exactly. Uh-huh, yeah.
Very interesting. What were Jewish religious services like at that time?
I have no idea, but I'm sure there are historians who do.
Right.
But no, there was a lot of cross-pollination in musical styles in that day and age.
Now, Ladino folk music, mm-hmm. What does the word Ladino mean?
It's a language based on Spanish. It's really a dialect of antique, very formal, high Spanish, but heavily influenced by languages in the countries to which the Jews moved when they were expelled from Spain by Ferdinand and Isabella in 1492. A lot of them ended up in Greece, so Ladino from that region of the world has a lot of Greek words in it. A lot of them ended up in the Balkans, so there are a lot of Serbo-Croatian Yugoslav sort of words in their language. Some of them, as you probably know, ended up in northern New Mexico.
Right.
But it's basically a Spanish-based language with lots of Hebrew as well mixed in with it, and then the languages from the places where Jews immigrated to when they were expelled from Spain.
Now, if you speak Hebrew or if you speak Spanish, can you understand Ladino?
You could probably understand Ladino if you spoke Spanish, yes.
So it's kind of like if you speak German, you can understand a lot of Yiddish.
A lot of Yiddish, exactly. Exactly.
And what is the nature of the Ladino folk music tradition?
This particular song that we're doing is sounds very Spanish, almost flamenco, and yet it has that typical sort of Middle Eastern Jewish set of intervals. Da 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 da. That particular collection of intervals, which sounds very Middle Eastern to us, and this particular folk song was arranged by Michael Isaacson, who is a living contemporary American composer.
Now, some of the music that you're doing is sung by cantors.
Yes, the cantor tradition in synagogue is of course ancient and venerable and continues to this day. Cantors at one time were men only, of course, but these days lots of sopranos and mezzo-sopranos are serving as cantors in Reform synagogues.
What is the role of the cantor in a synagogue?
To lead the singing and to embellish the choral pieces with solos, including some improvisatory phrases. And he's basically a soloist who's kind of backed up by a choir.
I didn't grow up going to church a whole lot, but I have gone to church enough times to know that when you sing along with a hymn from the hymnals that are in front of you on the little rack, and that the, they're really kind of easy, and I guess they're easy so that the people who are not trained singers in the chorus can kind of follow along, and it's not a total mess.
Yeah.
But when you have a cantor who's singing, who is really a professional singer, you're adding kind of a dimension of almost, I don't know what you want to call it, professionalism or sophistication to the music.
Yes, and much of the cantorial tradition is very operatic in nature, so the music tends to be a great deal more sophisticated and more difficult when the cantor is singing a solo. It's not at all hymn-like. Now, the cantor does occasionally lead the congregation in singing prayers that are more like hymns. By the way, the Catholic Church had cantors many centuries ago.
Is
and
that
then,
right?
And then the practice died out and then was revived after Vatican II when congregational singing became the norm again. And so cantors in Catholic churches, their primary function is to lead the congregation in singing, not so much to do solos.
We're talking to Ken Knight, and the Santa Fe Men's Camerata is doing a tribute to four centuries of Jewish composers at Temple Beth Shalom this Saturday and Sunday, Saturday at 7 o'clock and Sunday at 4 o'clock. Now,
correct.
The second half of the show, it looks like basically mostly show tunes, with a few exceptions.
It's show tunes and popular songs. The first piece by Irving Berlin is Give Me Your Tired, Your Poor, which a poem by Emma Lazarus, which is inscribed in bronze and mounted on the wall at the Statue of Liberty. It's the only text by another person that Irving Berlin ever set. All of his other songs, and there were probably 1,500 that he wrote in his lifetime, were all to his own lyrics. This is the only one that uses someone else's lyrics.
And when you think about the sentiment of that, give us your tired, your poor, that's sort of not the era that we're living in today.
Well, it very much reflects, of course, the wave upon wave of immigration that came through New York Harbor and Ellis Island and passed under the Statue of Liberty.
Exactly. But that sentiment of welcoming and abundance and what we can give is something to kind of think about and remember.
It is.
And some of the other people, as you said, George Gershwin and Richard Rodgers and Frederick Lowe and Stephen Sondheim, what are those like for you as the conductor, as the director of the Men's Camerata, to teach and to lead your group? I mean, is this fun, easy stuff? Is it incredibly difficult?
It's great fun. It's not especially difficult. And for a group of American male singers, it's a lot easier to teach them that repertoire than it is the liturgical stuff in foreign languages that they, most of them, do not speak.
Right.
I can't tell you how much more time-consuming it is to teach a difficult four-part piece to men that's in Hebrew or Yiddish or Ladino. And because all of these composers of the popular songs are Americans, that repertoire is just a part of our heritage. People have heard it all their lives, and they have a great deal more affinity for it.
Yeah, it comes naturally to
them. The style
sing
comes
it.
Naturally to them, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, much easier to teach.
Tell us more about the Men's Camerata. This is a group of singers, some of whom have probably been professional singers at some time in their lives, is
very
that right?
Very few, only a couple. Most of them are just guys that like to sing. And some are fairly well trained as singers, and some aren't. Some read music fairly well, some don't. At one time, we had a much wider age span. We had some high school kids, a couple of college kids, and then men up into their early 80s. The high school kids have all gone off to seek their fortune in the world, and our group is getting older and older.
But, and there's not a new crop of high school kids coming to take their place?
You know, I wish there were, but that singing, particularly this style of music and this particular repertoire, just doesn't seem cool to kids much anymore these days. So it's really hard to find young people who want to hang out with us old guys and sing this type of music.
Nerdy singer kids, take note. Yeah. You will have fun.
You will. You will have a lot of fun.
I mean, there's something just simply about getting together with people and singing, which is like nothing else.
Exactly. And there's nothing like the sound of a good men's chorus. It's a sonority that's just like nothing else on earth. It's just can be utterly thrilling. It's almost always beautiful. And just a profound experience singing in a men's chorus.
Having said that, some of the pieces in this concert, the tribute to four centuries of Jewish composers, do call for mixed choruses, and you've got some women from your other choruses who are joining in.
That's right. Some women from the Canticum Novum chamber chorus and my Zia singers are joining us on two of the liturgical pieces. Shalom Rav, a song about peace in the world, by Ben Steinberg. And then the second movement of Leonard Bernstein's Chichester Psalms. It's a sort of conversation between the men and the women. The women sing a beautiful, serene, lyrical setting of the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." The men come barreling in and interrupt them with a loud, raucous setting of the psalm, I think it's Psalm 2, "Why do the heathen so furiously rage together? Why do the people imagine a vain thing?" And they carry on in a very blustery fashion for several pages, and then the serene Psalm 23 comes back with the women's voices again, and they kind of overlap. The score is marked when the women come in the second time with the tune of the 23rd Psalm. In parentheses above the women's parts, it says, "blissfully unaware of threat," as the men are growling and grumbling along underneath them.
Good heavens.
Yeah. Bernstein had a sense of humor.
Yes, indeed. So any other favorites from this concert that you'd like to point out to people?
Well, the last two pieces are very much a part of the baby boomers' heritage, "Blowin' in the Wind" by Bob Dylan, and "Bridge Over Troubled Water" by Paul Simon. Gorgeous arrangement of "Bridge Over Troubled Water." So those will be very familiar to most of the audience, and in fact, I wouldn't even mind if people sing along.
Ah, okay.
On those, yeah.
Do people do that in your concerts from time to time?
They do, from time to time. I'm actually expecting most of the folks from the Temple Beth Shalom congregation who are coming to the concert to sing along in the two songs that we're doing that were used in the movie Schindler's List. One is Eufen Pripachuk. It's a song about the rabbi teaching the children the alphabet by the hearth, by the fireside. And most people think it's a folk song. It's so well known, particularly all across Eastern Europe, and has been known for over 100 years. But in fact, it was composed by a guy named Markowicz Warszawski, who was a friend of what's the guy who wrote the book on which Fiddler on the Roof is based? Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. He was a friend of his. And Aleichem said to him, "Listen, why don't you publish these things?" Warszawski just had never notated them or written them down. He just sang them from memory, accompanying himself on the piano. And Aleichem said, "Why don't you write these things down? They're fabulous. And you know, if I didn't know that you had personally written Eufen Pripachuk, I would swear that my mother taught this to me at her, on, you know, at
wow.
her knee." It's so so folk-like,
yeah.
So melodious and so singable. And I'll bet you most people in the congregation will know that song. And I bet a lot of them will also know the other song from Schindler's List, which is, they call it the second Israeli national anthem. It's a song by Naomi Shemer. Was written just about the time of the Six Days War in the late 60s. Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, and it was such a hit in Israel that it became so well known that everybody learned to sing it, and it's sung at many civic occasions, and people know it almost as well as they do the national anthem.
Which you are also singing in this
we
concert.
Are.
You're starting off with that.
We're starting off with the Israeli national anthem, which is also thought of often as a folk song or something that just kind of arose spontaneously from the earth, but in fact was composed by a fellow named Samuel Cohen. It's based on a Romanian folk song. The composer Smetana used the same Romanian folk song as the main theme for his tone poem, The Moldau.
Oh, okay.
You know that great big
right.
tune? Da da dee da da dum da dum da dum da da. Well, it's the same tune, except in a different meter that Cohen converted into the Israeli national anthem.
The event is tribute to four centuries of Jewish composers, the Santa Fe Men's Camerata, led by Ken Knight, who it's just great to have you back on the program.
It's
Thank
you.
Temple Beth Shalom this Saturday at 7 in the evening and Sunday at 4 in the afternoon. Well, thanks for being with us, and we'll see you there.
Very good. Thank you.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR.